The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Very busy afternoon as we progress through the day here. And let's have more on the breaking news that Ursula just brought you.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
One of the richest men in the world, the owner of the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trail Blazers, Paul Allen, has just released a statement, and we have a little more time here, so let me read it to you in its entirety. I learned recently that the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that I was treated for in 2009 has returned. My team of doctors has begun treatment of the disease, and I plan on fighting this aggressively. A lot has happened in medicine since I overcame this disease in 2009. My doctors are optimistic that I will see good results from the latest therapies, as am I. I will continue to stay involved with Vulcan, the Allen Institutes, the Seahawks, and Trailblazers, as I have in the past. I have confidence in the leadership teams to manage their ongoing operations during my treatment. I am very grateful for the support I've received from my family and friends, and I've appreciated the support of everyone on the teams and in the broader community in the past, and count on that support now as I fight this challenge. Go Seahawks, go Blazers, Paul Allen. So that was just released just minutes ago. And I will tell you, Paul Allen has done about as much to shape this city as any person alive. The Seahawks were gone, and
right.
Literally gone. They were in Anaheim. They were gone. And Paul Allen, you know, rescued the team from Ken Behring and, you know, got the stadium built after, you know, taxpayer vote on that. But before this complete redevelopment of the Amazon campus and all of South Lake Union, which is Vulcan Real Estate, you know, a lot of people forget that back in the early 90s, Paul Allen was acquiring all of that property because he had this vision for the Seattle Commons.
Right.
And it was going to be a big open
green space right.
From the south end of Lake Union almost all the way to Denny Street, which I thought then, I was doing fill-in talk show work at King 1090, and I thought it was a fabulous idea then, and I sure would prefer that to what we have now down there.
Have you been? So last night, I went to a dinner at Wild Ginger down. They have a new South Lake Union restaurant. I could not even, we could not even figure out how to get around. It's unrecognizable if you haven't been there for 2 or 3 years.
That used to be my turf, and it is. It's unrecognizable. But, and I've read Paul Allen's book, which is titled Idea Man, and I've often thought that he, you know, for a multi-billionaire, he seems to have a blast. You know, he loves owning the sports teams. He loves the space exploration things. He has the Brain Institute, where he has worked on pioneering medicine.
On a personal level, he loves music.
EMP.
EMP.
Or whatever it's called now. What's it called now? I don't even know what it's called.
Mopop?
Yeah, something like that. By the way, we should have had a different design of the building. But, no, and yeah, so he's... And he's a huge music fan. He, you know, has seen all the, you know, all the greatest artists in the world have come and performed private shows at EMP. He's got a yacht that he sails the Mediterranean.
I mean, he's just got such a wide,
he looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he always, I think, just puts community first.
Well, very philanthropic.
Yes.
Without question. And so I wish him the very best. One of the only interviews that I've ever seen him do was on this show when the Seahawks made the Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history in Detroit in February of 2006. Paul Allen came to my location at Broadcast Row, and we sat down and did a one-on-one interview, which was, it was really something because he hardly ever does interviews.
Well, given everything that he has done and everything that he has, that's the other thing, is that he likes to remain private.
Yes, very much so. So I always appreciated that he, in one of his few interviews ever, that he did it with us. So, and of course, I've been associated with the Seahawks for a long, long time now. So, and they're a great organization to work for. So I wish Paul Allen the very best as he continues his fight against non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm sorry to hear that news just a couple of minutes ago. Okay, speaking of his Seahawks, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Seahawks with an important win yesterday, but that was completely overshadowed by the injuries. Two season-ending injuries, Will Dissly, the rookie out of the University of Washington, and then perhaps more notably, Earl Thomas. And what was so disappointing is Earl Thomas, one of the greatest players in Seahawks history, as he was carted off the field, he flipped off the Seahawk sideline. And we still haven't heard from Earl who exactly that was intended for. Pete Carroll was on our sister station with Brock and Salk this morning, and he talked about Earl's injury.
What a shame. You know, we'd made such a good turn and heading in a good direction, and then he just, you know, has to deal with that. I really think that, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk about it. I think you got it. People that are or criticizing whatever happened don't understand. This was, you know, what. Earth-shattering moment for a kid. You know, he's trying to play this game he loves, and all of a sudden this happens again. He knew exactly what had happened to him. He went right to what it's going to take to get back, and all the, you know, he had it all just totally figured out, and it's as emotional as you can get. But he was very chilled about it. You know, on the field, he was an unbelievable stud about handling it, and give him a little slack. You know, this is very, very difficult moment that most people would never understand what that was all about.
Yeah, I still think it's incredibly disappointing and unfortunate that Earl Thomas's last image ever in a Seahawk uniform is him flipping off the sideline of an organization that's paid him $55 million over the course of his career. Okay, on a semi-related note, a charitable opportunity that I wanted you to know about for a great cause.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, if there is a cause that should unify us in these divisive times, it's that we need to take care of our veterans and people who have made such sacrifices defending our country. And our friend Kenny Mayne with ESPN, he started a foundation that's called Run Freely. He and his wife Gretchen are helping veterans who have really given quite the sacrifice. And Kenny Mayne joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey there. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
This is helpful because we have a little raffle going related to the game. I call it the Coliseum still, but a Key Arena, the final game Friday. And the back to it is when I got this new brace for my ankle, which, as you sitting with me at many Seahawk games now, I'm always limping around there. And
yes,
some days it's good, some days it's bad. But I was fortunate enough to have been able to purchase they don't even call it a brace. They like to call it a device. And it was invented by this guy down at Gig Harbor. And you stick the thing on, and next thing you know, you're walking and running without pain. So I'm not selling these. We're trying to give these away, although I wish I did have a piece. So once I got it, I was just so blown away. I distinctly remember calling Gretchen. I was crying, and I couldn't believe, you know, my good fortune. And we said we should do something good with this. So since the device, the R&D for the device was all because these men and women went and got injured at war. You know, that was the obvious thing. The way to pay back was to do something that benefited them. So we started this foundation. It's called Run Freely, F-R-E-E-L-Y, runfreely.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a fun event back in August. We had Jamal and Gary Payton, Steve Largent, Jerry Rice, Lenny Wilkins came by and raised a decent amount of money that day, but the mission continues. So what we've decided to do is just keep coming up with little prizes along the way to try to incent people to want to give. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're, you know, PBS does the same thing.
Sure.
So this time, the prize is you get to go to the game on Friday, two tickets, and you get to have lunch with Steve Kerr Friday afternoon, right after their shoot-around. And I'm also going to try to steal a ball from the Warriors practice and get Curry or somebody to sign it.
Nice.
That's not a That's a maybe.
And so you mentioned that these are for people who have served you. So you're trying to just raise money so you can donate as many of these as possible to our injured vets.
Precisely. And so far we've three recipients. We have a fourth, a young lady, as our first female recipient. We're happy that's the case. We're not trying to pick it, you know, by gender or color or any other thing. We're just whoever qualifies both on physical and financial need, and they're expensive. So, you know, we're happy every time we get one out the door.
Yeah.
And we're up to our fourth that we've just awarded, and now we're looking to our fifth.
Good for you. So again, the prize is tickets to the NBA game at the Coliseum. And by the way, good for you for still calling it the Coliseum. I refuse to call it Key Arena. I grew up here, as did you. Key Arena doesn't even pay a fee anymore. They've gotten free publicity for 10 years, and they're not giving me anything to do their ad. So it's the Seattle Center Coliseum, and good for you for clinging to the past as I do.
I don't do it out of any malice. It's just in my head. I mean, I went to the game where Lenny Wilkins returned as a Cleveland Cavalier.
Oh, I was there.
Nothing against Butch Beard, but I got sold out. I was 12, and we didn't have enough money to buy from the scalpers, so we ended up going to Space Needle, and we thought we protested the situation in some manner. But anyway, we're doing good. Lenny will be at the game Friday as well, I'm sure.
Nice.
A whole bunch of people. It's going to be a huge event. I hope Seattle people come out and support KD. He did nothing wrong. He would have been a great star for us for many years. And, you know, get to see some good basketball as they near the beginning of the season.
But yep, there you go.
The way to enter our contest is to donate, runfreely.org. There's a place where you see the donate button. And then screenshot. We don't care if you give $1 or $1 million. Obviously, we'd rather have higher numbers, but we're treating everybody as equals. Give whatever you think you can. Show that on my Twitter. Just find me at Kenny_Main. And we will draw tonight at halftime of the Monday game, and somebody's going to win the prize.
Okay. All right. And that's Kenny_Main is MAYNE. So screenshot your donation. You'll be in the drawing. And do you have any runner-up prizes? Like, can somebody go and play craps with you if they're a runner-up?
Well, that could just happen naturally. We don't really need to set anything up for that.
Okay. All right.
But as you say that, actually, I know you got a time limitation here, but we're intending to do other prizes, and we got some really good ones. We got the chance to play horse with Sue Bird. That's a prize. We got a trip to North Carolina to meet Dale Earnhardt, a trip to Colorado to meet Jenny Simpson, the track star.
Sweet.
And we're developing them as we go. I'm going to find a company that knows how to really do this instead of me on my Twitter. But for these littler ones, it's worked pretty well.
I like it.
I was blown. Last week, we raised like $5,000 giving away a few basketballs that were signed by some of the stars, footballs and basketballs. So this one we're excited for, and I hope there's a great interest in wanting to go to Friday's game.
Good. Well, it's a great cause. So make a donation, any amount, at runfreely.org, and you get a chance to go see this final game at the Coliseum before the big remodel. All right, Kenny, what'd you think of Earl Thomas's farewell yesterday?
It was interesting. Now, I've broken my leg three times, and I will say you go into a shock when you break your leg. So yeah. I'm giving them grace for whatever. I don't know. I slept in after working until 3 a.m., so I had heard no new news today. I don't even know. Did he explain who he precisely directed?
No. Still silent in that regard. We're still waiting to hear that.
The whole thing's difficult and unfortunate, and that damn field took, right, Cam, Richard and now Earl, all injured on the same place.
And Will Disley. Yeah, the Seahawks have had four season-ending injuries in that stadium in the last year and a month. And they also had kind of an unfortunate Super Bowl there. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I remember the play. I would have faked it to Marshawn, not given it, fake it to him, and then run a play action off of that. Okay. We can't do that play over.
Okay.
That play is on.
Duly noted. All right, Kenny Main, go make a donation for a great cause at runfreely.org. Always good to talk to you, Kenny.
I'll see you at the game Sunday. Thanks for doing this.
Okay. All right. Kenny Mayne with ESPN with us up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
I'm always checking your messages on the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. And, man, people remain just furious at me because I mentioned I wasn't here last week, so I couldn't talk about the whole Kavanaugh thing last week. But I said after watching the hearings, after watching Christine Ford's testimony, after watching Kavanaugh's, I found him to be more credible. And, oh, people are furious. They're crying. I can't believe my ears. Of course Dory's on board with Kavanaugh. Heartbreaking. I believe 100% that that man did it. Anyone who can't see that is blind. Another person is sobbing since I said that. That's a very odd reaction. Can you imagine me sobbing because you think Christine Ford was more credible? You disagree with me. It's a weird reaction that these people who demand that I agree with them, I've reached independently a different conclusion. And as I said, if Kavanaugh is innocent, I think it is despicable what's happened to him. A husband, a father accused of sex assault, pulling out his high school yearbook. They're trying to interpret lines written in his high school yearbook. And as I was watching the testimony, I just thought, there's something that seems to me, sorry that I came up with a different opinion than some of you, but there seemed to be something really off with Christine Ford. And when people in their 50s are talking in the, you know, the vocal fry little, you know, junior high school voice, that's odd to me. And I don't know what's behind that.
Brett and Mark were drunkenly laughing during the attack. They seemed to be having a very good time. Mark seemed ambivalent, at times urging Brett on and at times telling him to stop.
What's interesting is I saw just Brett Kavanaugh savaged on Saturday Night Live and on John Oliver's HBO show last night, making fun of him and his cry. But, you know, Lord forbid anybody do the same thing to Christine Ford. This one actress did. She's in what, some new Star Wars project?
I don't know if anybody is listening to the Dr. Blasey Ford testimony about Brett Kavanaugh, but this is how I sound. I know it's a surprise to even me that I talk this way, and I'm a doctor and a grown woman. I sound like I'm still back at that high school party.
So it's just interesting because she got ripped, this actress, for goofing on her. It's okay to, you know, savage Kavanaugh and his testimony and the way he speaks, but this woman had to remove all her social media because she dared make fun of Christine Ford. It's people have come up with different conclusions, but I'm telling you, if you disagree with the politically correct and the, you know, she's an accuser, so obviously she's telling the truth, man, people are just vicious. Sorry I made you cry. Sorry I came up with a different opinion than you as I watched both testimonies. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, then we're going to count down a really good batch of our favorite sound bites of the day. Next. It's that time of the afternoon when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Okay, I think Ursula just played a couple of these, but we pulled just a bunch of cuts from this Trump press conference today that was supposed to be about trade and about the New Deal to replace NAFTA, but reporters tried to get to Kavanaugh. I'm just going to, instead of a 3-2-1, we're just going to roll through as many of these as possible. This is, I think this is one you just heard, when the reporter tried to turn to Kavanaugh questions.
I'd like to turn to Judge Kavanaugh.
Do you have, excuse me. Do you have a question on trade? We'll do one or two more questions on trade.
Several questions.
Okay, don't
do
that. That's not nice.
Mr. President,
and besides that, somebody is before you. Excuse me. Don't do that.
Then he reluctantly took some non-trade questions.
Okay, let's go. Come on. You want to, I guess, get off trade. I don't know.
Thank you. People
are falling asleep with trade. I think it's, to me, it's the most exciting thing you can talk about. Right, Joni? Right? All right, let's go. Come on.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And just tepid applause. He talked about Kavanaugh. He wants the investigation to be quickly, but says it's an unfair process.
I want it to be comprehensive. I actually think it's a good thing for Judge Kavanaugh. I think it's actually a good thing. Not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Now, with that being said, I'd like it to go quickly.
It's reasonable. I mean, you know, this is all just a delay tactic. They're trying to just gum things up until the midterms. He slammed Democrats and this reporter.
But I will tell you, I watched those senators on the Democrat side, and I thought it was a disgrace, and partially because I know them. I know them too well. And you know what? They are not angels.
Are you saying your White House has put no limitations on?
No, my White House is doing whatever the senators want. No, no.
Who they should interview.
You don't understand what I'm saying. You do understand. You just don't want to report it that way. Just so you understand, my White House will do whatever the senators want.
Then he was asked if the FBI should interview all three Kavanaugh accusers.
It wouldn't bother me at all. I mean, I've been heard that the third one has, I have no idea if this is true, has very little credibility. If there is any credibility, interview the third one.
And he said that Kavanaugh's family, a reporter asked about what women have gone through, and he said, well, Kavanaugh's going through a lot right now, too.
She spoke well, but, you know, there are some questions that haven't been answered, like what year was it? What day was it? Where was it? Do you know the location? Do you know the house? A lot of different things. People are saying, well, you know, what's going on? With all of that, you cannot say that we've done anything but be respectful. And I respect her position very much. I respect her position very much.
And he said from the start he thought this should be investigated, and then they got back to the FBI.
I think it's fine if they do. I don't know. That's up to them. I think that he spoke very conclusively and very well. I think it's been a very rough period of time. I guarantee he's never had a period of time like this.
And the president said, hey, if they're going after him for drinking back in high school, that there are some senators who might have to answer for that now.
I tell you what, I happen to know some United States senators. One who is on the other side, who's pretty aggressive. I've seen that person in very bad situations. Okay?
We'll have to name names on that one. And then, as to the press?
They got worse. They're worse now than ever. They're loco, but that's okay. I put up with it. Go ahead.
I use that word
because of the fact that we made a deal with Mexico. So.
My favorite part.
That's why you used loco. Should the alcohol claims impact whether Kavanaugh gets on the bench?
This is not a man that said that alcohol was absolute, that he was perfect with respect to alcohol. No, I thought he was actually, going back so many years, I thought he was excellent.
And then senators. He said senators could be liars.
I mean, there are bad reports on everybody in here. Most of the people sitting down, they're bad, except for Mike Pence, by the way. And if we find one on him, then I think that's going to be, that'll be the greatest shock of all time. No, there are bad reports on everybody. I'm looking at people. I'm sort of, look at some of these people asking the questions, okay? Look at Blumenthal. He lied about Vietnam. He didn't just say, hey, I went to Vietnam. No, no. For 15 years, he said he was a war hero. He fought in Da Nang province. We call him Da Nang Richard. Da Nang. That's his nickname. Da Nang. He never went to Vietnam.
It's true. Blumenthal is a stinking liar. Then he went after Cory Booker, Dianne Feinstein. And then he shut down a reporter who kept asking about Kavanaugh and drinks.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Just to wrap up, can you promise
you know
to
what?
Release
you've really had enough.
FBI's report?
Hey, you've had enough. Go ahead, please.
And when he was asked, come on. Give us something.
You just said some senators are not angels, and you've seen some of them in
I would say some of them, yes.
Compromising situations.
Yes.
Could you tell us who and exactly what situation
I think I'll save it for a book like everybody else, and I'll write it. Okay? I'm not giving it to you.
There you go. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's side next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before we head out into our Monday afternoon, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end
is near.
Make this today's sign triple shot for you. Let's start down in DeKalb County, Georgia, where two pre-K teachers have resigned after students accused them of tying the kids' hands behind their backs with zip ties. Parents were stunned and furious at the allegations involving the four-year-old children. Mom says, of one of the kids, said that she was really shaken up when she heard about zip-tying her kid.
This has really shaken me to the core.
And here's what her daughter told her.
She said that one teacher tied her up and the other cut it loose. And she said, Mommy, I was scared to tell you because I thought I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd be too pleased either if teachers were zip-tying my kids' hands. This mom is very sad because, as you just heard. Okay, now the question. The teachers have resigned, but the parents say maybe that's not enough.
Well, I want them to pay. I want them to not have any license to teach because they don't need to teach. Who would do this?
The district suspended the two teachers, and then they resigned. Parents said that, no, you can't let them work for some other school district. You got to take away their teaching license. The school officials did not send out a letter to parents notifying them about the alleged incident until 2 days after they found out. Parents said that was too slow a response, too. But they said, well, we had to investigate the darn thing. Today's sign story number two. Oh, it's one of those happy lottery winner stories. Jim Hayes, he bought some lottery tickets a few years ago and hit it for $19 million. That's just fantastic. What a life you would have if you hit a lottery for $19 million. All your troubles would be gone. You'd never have to worry about money ever again. But Jim Hayes spent like a $19 million lottery winner. He bought a Lamborghini, bought a Porsche, he bought Harleys, he got a $1 million oceanfront condo, would take extravagant gambling trips to Las Vegas. And that's when he decided to rob a bank because he was out of money. He wrote a female teller a note demanding cash. He said on the note, sorry, family emergency. He got in his Volkswagen Jetta with $3,300 in the three-minute bank robbery. Over the next 5 months, the heroin addict hit 10 more banks in the Los Angeles area. He was known as the PT Cruiser Bandit because one of the things he bought with his stolen cash was a champagne-colored PT Cruiser. Yeah, you go from a Lamborghini and a Porsche down to a PT Cruiser. He robbed banks for nearly $40,000 before the FBI busted him. I was talking with a friend about this yesterday. We were talking about this very issue before I saw this story. I think God wants me to work. I don't buy lottery tickets, so that makes it tough to ever win the lottery. But I think God wants me to work. Because I'm telling you, and my friend was saying the same thing, because he and I are both kind of workaholics. And we were saying, you know, with a lot of idle free time, I don't know if I would channel it in the healthiest, best way possible. But work gives my life structure. It allows me to do something that I love. So I don't want your stinking $19 million. You know what I want more than that? You. Just being here with you every afternoon. You're my lottery riches. Okay, and today's sign story number three. Do we have any goat music? Remember that singer, Gotye? G-O-T-Y-E? He had kind of a catchy tune a few years ago. Yeah. Kind of a cute little ditty. So, Gotye is going to have to be my goat story music. Now and then I think of when we were together. As you have no doubt heard, they have a goat problem in Olympic National Park.
So they've been airlifting the goats out of the park and relocating them. And it's not easy to do. You know, they got to get somebody down. They put them in that harness. The goats, they don't want to fly underneath a helicopter. They like just hanging out at the park. But Popular Mechanics, this isn't a local media source. Popular Mechanics has a story about why the mountain goats not only love Olympic National Park, but they have blossomed there. Apparently, there are so many humans who go hiking in Olympic National Park. And when you go hiking, if you have to go to the bathroom, you just kind of step off the trail, make sure nobody can see you, and you relieve yourself there. Well, according to Popular Mechanics, the mountain goats have developed an insatiable appetite for human urine. With minerals necessary for their diet scant, the goats have developed a strong predilection for human urine and sweat, which they can find in abundance when the hikers go off the trail. Let me read you one line from this Popular Mechanics story. Mountain goats can be a nuisance along trails and around wilderness campsites where they persistently seek salt and minerals from human urine. They often paw and dig around on the ground where hikers have urinated or disposed of cooking wastewater. And that's been a detriment to the environment because there are erosion problems when they're digging around. Oh, man, have you ever watched mountain goats? I'm telling you. Gautier, you ever seen mountain goats? One of the most memorable sights on one of our best family river rafting vacations. And I don't remember if this was the Idaho river rafting or the Utah, but we were going through a river canyon and watching mountain goats traverse these impossibly steep mountain cliff canyon walls. One misstep and they'll tumble to their death. But they just confidently can run up and down those walls. It is fascinating. It's one of the great sights in all of nature. So anyway, that's why the mountain goats like Olympic National Park so much. It's human urine. And now you know. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I will go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show. Ron and Don's coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. I know. I know. I used to
know. He's an animal. He belongs in the wild or in the circus on one of those tiny tricycles.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.